Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Into injury time, can win it for Charlton from the penalty spot. The referee blows his whistle, he steps up, he scores! And Carlin Grant wins it for the Addicts in the 95th minute. Come on! Yes!
Good evening and a very good welcome to you to Charlton Live on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes, joining me in the studio here at the Valley as we look back at yesterday's quite exciting 1-0 win if you only count the last 10 minutes, but what exciting it was over at Accrington Stanley is first up Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Not bad, Lou. You yourself?
Yeah, you're looking well.
Well, I wasn't after sort of 85 minutes yesterday, but I was at 95, so...
Excellent, good to have you. Also joining us here is Terry Smith. How are you doing, Terry?
Evening, Louis. All right, you recovered?
Yeah,
I hate those over-the-top commentaries, don't you?
It's like a last-minute winner or something.
Ooh, yeah, looking forward to playing you one, Tell. And we have a special guest in the studio this evening, Heather McKinley, from the Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust, has joined us to chat about the Addicts. How are you doing, Heather? You well?
I'm very good, thanks, Louis. Yeah, particularly enjoyed yesterday.
It, certainly, and of course you're here to talk about yesterday's meeting between the Supporters Trust and Andy Holt from Accrington Stanley, which we'll talk about later on in the show. But of course, we are going to focus, first of all, on the game yesterday here at the Valley. We're going to hear from Lee Bowyer, hopefully, if I can get Terry's iPad to work during the show. We're possibly going to hear from Jimmy Bell, the Stanley assistant manager, if we have a chance to as well, because he was quite vocal in his displeasure about the result yesterday. We'll have your views on the games via your tweets and your emails. You can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum and have your say on yesterday's game, on the red cards, on the things that clearly should have been red cards and perhaps spells in prison for assault. Then after that, we will look at yesterday's Supporters Trust meeting with Andy Holt, the Accrington Stanley chairman and owner. That was a really fascinating meeting. We've got an interview with him. And we're also going to hear from another Heather. Buy one, get one free on Heathers this evening. Heather Alderson from Card, about their meeting with the EFL this week. But before we dive into the highlights, Tell, I was with maybe 10 minutes left to go yesterday, I was really racking my brains thinking, what the hell am I going to do on tomorrow night's show?
Then we were struggling for content, weren't we?
Yeah.
And I think the players knew that, you know. I think that they consciously, you know, or subconsciously went, well, if we don't do something in the next 10 minutes, Louis's not going to have anything to talk about. So they deliberately went around kicking each other in the head and, you know, and generally gave us something to discuss this evening.
It was a really good end to the game, a real exciting end to the game, Nathan, and the celebrations. Actually, the celebrations said it all, really.
Yeah, I still just think back to the celebrations and the bit with Bilic, which I've just been talking about and watching it on repeat for like the last 24 hours. But
I mean,
it was just mad. But
that moment quickly with Bilic.
Well, in front, because he's right in front of me in the F block. Everyone spilled on the pitch, and you know, everyone, and then all of a sudden, you see this. I assume it's some young kid. He's sort of sprinted and his arms wide, ready to embrace Bilic, and he's slipped. One foot's gone into his groin area, and literally Bilic's just keeled over and he's rolling around in pain. And then, but the funniest thing is, the Cholton safety officer went to pick up the kid and not Bilic. So it was brilliant. But it was a moment you don't really get a lot in the last minute wins. But
one you'll never forget, and Christian Bilic certainly won't forget that one for a little while. Heather, the build up towards the end of that game, where we, in that second half, where we were really turning the screw, and we had that shot from Taylor that just went wide, and I think that's why we erupted with such joy at the end, because we felt like we deserved that 3 points.
Definitely, and I think Ben Reeves coming on made a massive difference, because up to that point we'd been pushing, but we were overcomplicating things a little bit. I think, you know, Williams is a fantastic player, Taylor as well, but they both like to do their tricks and their flicks and the fancy stuff, and we weren't really getting the breakthroughs. And then when Reeves came on, he was just, every pass he made was a fantastic through ball and set something going. And from then on, you really felt like the momentum was building. But in the end, you know, it took a lot for us to get those 3 points. And,
yeah, but it was a great moment when it happened. And I'm sure you've all been looking forward to hearing this. The highlights from Valley Pass. Terry Smith and Greg Stubley are your commentators.
Doesn't put a challenge in, and it's allowed Accrington to play the ball wide, and it's gone right to Hughes. Ball into the box, and all on his own there was Billy Key. And he should have done better with that. Instead, he's spooned it out for a Cholton goal kick. Heavy touch from Chris Solly. Didn't know the man was there, but he's got the ball back for Cholton. Cullen takes over. Goes, skips past one man. Possible shot on here. Back to his right foot. Ball in field to Williams. Williams out to Taylor. Taylor across the penalty area. Oh! Touched past Carlin Grant, I think. And Purrington's chasing it out to the touchline. And it did come off the keeper's hand and took it away from Carlin Grant.
He's being held up by Grant. Cuts inside onto his left foot. Gets it back out to his right. He's chipped ball in the box. He's headed down by Key. And his arms are of a chance and a great save from Phillips. Cholton just trying to scramble it. Key
Dylan Phillips. Absolutely
gets on the end
superb.
Of it. It's great goalkeeping from the Cholton keeper
top draw.
To deny Armstrong what would have been a certain goal.
He's
preparing
him
to take a long throw, just, which we've not seen before.
He just said to Gibson, that to Cullen, that he didn't think it was a foul. It's unbelievable.
Nabi Sarr prepares to take a long throw. They've clearly worked on this. Nabi Sarr, throw short instead to Johnny Williams. Williams on the edge of the box. Step over, back out to Sarr. Crossing opportunity. Sarr, ball in the box is horrendous.
He should have thrown it.
And there is the half-time whistle before he even takes the goal kick, which kind of sums up the first 45 minutes here at the Valley. Not a classic by any means. Solly, the throw to Cullen. Solly gets it back. Ball inside to Taylor. Taylor shrugging off Gibson, goes for goal.
Again, it needed the pass rather than shot for me.
Grant on the right hand side is Solly. Solly back inside to Grant. Grant turns back inside. Grant thinking about a shot. Chip ball towards the far post. Purrington with a header. Great save by Maxted. Great header from Purrington, the left back of all people. And Maxted diving to make the save.
Purrington back out left. Will he take on his man? Tries. Johnson gets the ball in. Lovely touch from Lyle Taylor, but he just screws the shot wide left of the post. Ball back forward. Grant is there, so is Nabi Sarr. It's headed away by Sykes. And then Gibson only gives it to Reeves. Reeves into Taylor. Into the penalty area. Takes a shot. Deflected. Oh, just left of the post. And it's a corner for Cholton.
But Cholton's pressure's now starting to build.
Still on it. He's got Purrington in the opposite side. It's a lovely ball into Cullen central. Cullen out to Grant. Grant beats his man. Into the box. Takes a shot. Oh! Just wide left of the post. And it'll be a goal kick.
Reeves has given us a lot since he's come on.
Coming from Reeves. Still in the 6-yard box. It's on. Oh, it's a header! Oh, it's a foul.
gave it before the ball's in, even on the box. Well,
Taylor's being kicked all over the place over there. What's going on now?
Taylor's on the ground and he's been manhandled. He's still on the ground, Lyle Taylor. It's all a bit of...
And there's a player in there, I think it's Armstrong, who's just trying to pull Taylor all over the place. What's that about? Referee lost it there completely. I think it was Bilic with the header that found the net. The referee had already blown for a free kick.
It's all over nothing. Absolutely nothing. I think he's calling over an Accrington player. He's having a word with the linesman. Taylor's just lying on the ground. Just having a word with the assistant.
Well, I mean, Taylor's on the floor. Whether you think it was a foul or whether you think he tried to go a foul, the reaction afterwards is surely worthy of some form of retribution, because every single Accrington player almost jumped on Lyle Taylor.
Now they're at a lengthy discussion, and I mean, we can see anything.
Well, there's a card coming out, I think. The referee's got his hand in his pocket. Oh, he's taken out again now. I don't know who he's calling. He's calling Taylor and the keeper, I think. Lyle Taylor. And the keeper's got a red. The
keeper's got a red. What does this mean for Lyle Taylor?
Is this a red as well? It's Lyle Taylor gets a red. Well, I've no idea. I've just no idea.
So, I mean, we can't comment what happened. But what a blow this is for Charlton. What a blow. You feel like it might be for violent conduct. Could be three games.
Backwards to Cullen. Left. Only 5 minutes. They've added time. To the right and gets the ball and heads it past his man. Good touch from Solly. Ball back across to Reeves in the penalty area. Reeves tries to... Has to be own ball. And now the flag is being waved by the...
It's a penalty. It is.
It's in the penalty. There's the official over there who'd sent a man off. Two men off. There's just... And I don't know why Chris Solly's getting involved. He's trying to keep the players away from the official.
That's
a clear handball. There are four Accrington players pinning the linesman against the stand.
Absolutely disgraceful.
And Chris Solly, by the way. Where's the referee? I can't find him. Is he in there as well?
It's a clear handball. They'll argue Accrington that he's too close. He's too close to the player.
No, he put his arm out.
But the arm was out.
He definitely put his arm out.
The arm was out. And for me, that looked unnatural.
The referee was out. Again, both the referee and the assistant over there were pinned to the east end by four Accrington players. And it's the number three, Hughes, is the most vociferous. To be a penalty. Chris Solly done superbly well. Got the ball back to Reeves. He was trying to decide what to do. In the end, he tried a little chip shot, and I didn't see what Accrington player it was.
How have none of the Accrington players been booked?
I can't understand it.
It's an absolute disgrace.
And the number three, Hughes, is still berating the referee.
An absolute disgrace the way they've reacted to this. Of course, they're going to be frustrated. The linesman's given it, but the way they sprinted, like full physical pace towards the linesman, and there's no yellow card for any of them. Carlin Grant's the man to take. What weight on his shoulders right now.
Well, he stepped up last Saturday after missing a hatful of chances to score, and now the pressure is back on Carlin Grant.
I can't watch. I really can't watch.
We are 3 minutes into the added time as Carlin Grant prepares to take this penalty. Strides forward, takes it.
Yeah! Come on!
Carlin Grant away from the left-hand side. Scores for Charlton. There are people on the pitch, the fans on the pitch, celebrating the goal, which looked like it was never going to come. And Charlton are 1-0 up with only 2 minutes left in the game.
Oh, what a moment for Carlin Grant. What pressure. And the penalty was absolutely outstanding. There's nothing the goalkeeper can do about it. And Charlton have not been good today, Terry. Have not been good. They're going to miss their star striker in Lyle Taylor. But massive credit to young Carlin, who's taken his shirt off and been booked as a consequence. Massive pressure on that man, young man's shoulders. That's a sign of a team that wants promotion. You've got your key striker not on the pitch because he's been sent off, and you're still grinding and grinding trying to get the result. and get the goal. And Carlon Grant steps up and unleashes a superb penalty.
Throw in by that corner. And there is the final whistle. Charlton have managed to get there. Heads over the line in dramatic fashion in the last seconds of the game. We've got a fan on the pitch. He don't know where he's going himself. He's just running in circles to celebrate the win.
There we go. Terry, yeah, pot kettle black in it, really, when it comes to the loud celebrations. But, oh, goodness. So 1 minute and 56 seconds between the penalty being given and Carlon Grant actually taking it, Tel, mainly because of some pretty unsavoury scenes from the Accrington players. But what must be going through Carlon Grant's head when he's had to wait for that long before he can take a really vital spot kick?
I'll tell you what, he showed some bottle and nerve last week after he'd missed a few one-on-ones to then step up and take a penalty. He was given the ball by Lyle Taylor last week up at Shrewsbury, and that took some guts. But yesterday, to you know, after all of what went on, you're right, and all the shenanigans and all the grief that was going on in the pitch, to remain composed and didn't he hit it well? I mean, it wasn't he wasn't just sneaking in the left angle; he absolutely thumped it.
And of course, we have to say pitch invasions are bad, blah blah blah. But that was absolutely brilliant, wasn't it?
But enjoyed it. I don't think Christian Billick enjoyed it quite as often much as the rest of us.
Yeah. I mean, that was that did look painful for Billick. But a scene like celebration scenes like that, and it's just, if you think with all that is going on in the background at this club, you know, it would be so easy for apathy to have set in for the actual team on the pitch, but there's never been any danger of that. And that moment, that celebration, I genuinely don't think I've ever seen an actual pitch invasion celebrating a goal like that. Obviously, we've seen ones for protests before. I genuinely cannot remember if I've ever seen that one, one of those down here at Charlton. However, there was the question over the penalty. I know some of the Accrington players didn't think it was one, which they were making quite clear to the linesman. But, I mean, it was Reeves' shot that hit. How were you saying his name, Tao? Barlaser?
I said it about 20 different times just to cover my bets. Yeah,
Barlaser. Where his name? He made a right Barlaser of it. And I mean, it was a clear handball, wasn't it?
It was absolutely a clear handball. I mean, I was in the North Upper, quite near the front, so had a fantastic view of it, just right, virtually in line with it. And his arm was out. It was like, handball!
It was like he was doing a star jump. I do wonder if the way they were speaking to the linesman there was actually just another distraction technique, Nath, because I mean, you said you saw someone messing around with a spot as well.
Yeah, it was the goalie was like doing stuff with a spot and that, and it was just I think that the whole game is just frustration, and that's why I think it just went mental at the end, because it was a game that was quite niggly. They were obviously slowing it down, and it was just a frustrating game. So but yeah, they was trying every trick in the book, which, to be fair to them, not the stamping bit, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, what book is that?
Yeah, but instead, in terms of them trying to slow the game down, away from home, that bit, but in terms of the way they did it, they were just an awful team to play.
It was odd, wasn't it? Because, I mean, myself and Heather both got to speak to Andy Hull, and we're thinking, oh, I really like Accrington Stanley right now. They feel like a really good club. But then the thugs they put out on the pitch. I mean, the red card incident now, of course, it came with the disallowed goal. As you'll remember that just before the corner came over, the referee actually blew his whistle to speak to Taylor. And I think the goalkeeper about a little bit of pushing and shoving inside the 6-yard box. And straight away in my mind, I was thinking, I know exactly what's going to come here. We're going to score and it's going to be ruled out. And that happened, but I didn't see what was happening after that coming.
The bit that I've never understood about that is that the referee, and it, you know, it's not exclusive to League One, across the leagues they do it, probably even do it abroad, where they're about to take the corner kick or a free kick or whatever, and they're scuffling in the box and they stop the play, go up and talk to them. Well, if somebody's fouled somebody in the box, all right, you know, change the rule slightly if you have to, because maybe the ball's not technically in play yet. If there's a foul, an infringement, give a free kick then and there. Don't wait for the corner then to be taken. Just give a free kick. So if Taylor's done something, give the free kick. And what that does then, it stops all that nonsense happening two minutes later.
Place. Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, as you say, obviously the ball's not live, which is why they can't do it currently. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if there was some sort of way of giving a foul.
Either give a free kick out or give a penalty. Because, you know, if you pull somebody to the ground, in open play, it's a foul. So make it that the corner is still a live piece of action, or a free kick is a live piece of action.
Yeah. My favourite one was once we were playing Milton Keynes here, I think it was in the promotion season, and the ball was live, like over by the touchline, and there was a fight kicking off in the penalty box, and because of that we got a penalty, even though the ball was about 40 yards away, but that was a different story. Yeah, so the red card for Lyle Taylor, we'll talk about that first. I mean, so it's come over. I think it was Bilic who headed it home. It's been ruled out, presumably, for a Taylor foul. Now, Taylor's fallen to the ground. The keeper's fallen over him. Now, I've watched this back hundreds of times, and there's not much in it, but I think there's enough in it from Lyle Taylor possibly just stretching a leg. Might have been trying to get up. It might have been seen as a kick by the linesman who seems to have given it. Now, I think even if it's not, you know, Eric Cantona-style kung fu kick, I think there's a movement of the leg there, which I think means if we do appeal, I'm slightly worried we're not going to win that appeal, Nath.
I didn't see anything at the time, for Taylor to get sent off. But after seeing it as well, I'm in your camp. I don't think we'll get it overturned, because they're going to analyse every bit of footage from the minute the corner's gone in all the way to it's all kicked off. Mm. And then they'll say, yeah, you know, Lyle's been stamped on and whatever, that'll be dealt with. But if they're going to look at every aspect, I think it's very unlikely that Lyle will get away with it, which is unfortunate, especially with Saturday.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's a massive kick, but there's enough of a movement of the leg where even if he is just trying to get up, they'll say, well, you've moved your leg, and they'll give it. And I saw a conversation actually in the tunnel after between the goalkeeper and Taylor, and Taylor certainly didn't think he'd done anything wrong, but I do feel like the goalkeeper felt differently.
I don't know, what is the remit of the panel? Is it to a clear and obvious mistake?
I think it would have
officials.
To be a clear and obvious mistake, and I don't. It also depends on what footage they have. Now, of course, we've only seen the footage that they put up on the TV, or you would have seen it on Quest or on the Sky Sports app. And also, the camera's almost panned away a little bit in the main TV feed as well, just as it's happened. And I watched it again on Valley Pass two or three times. And if they've got a better, maybe they hopefully they'll have a better shot of it. And my feeling that there is a slight leg movement will be wrong, but I'm not holding my breath for that one. The goalkeeper, I feel, Heather, might have been actually slightly harshly sent off.
I'm not really quite sure what happened with the keeper. I mean, to me, it probably also depends what the actual report says, because it did seem as though it was the linesman's decision. I mean, the referee just ran away, really, when everything was kicking off and players were piling in. He just kind of stood there and watched.
I think the only defence I can see for the goalkeeper is if it's mistaken identity. Because the
linesman's wearing a different colour shirt.
These are League One officials we're talking about. So if it's mistaken identity, so if they're going to squash his red card because it wasn't his foot that made contact with Lyle Taylor's leg, because it was clearly Sykes, everybody's seen the photograph, and then Finlay stamped on Lyle Taylor's head. Now, if you're going to retrospectively say, well, yeah, that didn't happen, then they've surely got to then send the other two off retrospectively.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we've even touched upon enough the cowardly nature of the two lads running in, and one of which, I mean, was it the number 14, which I think was Finlay.
Finlay.
Yeah. Finlay, yeah.
You can clearly see him running in and stamping on Lyle Taylor's head. Now, I must have said this on the show before, but you do that in the street, you're going to jail. I mean, you cannot do that, and it's bizarre that there's this like difference between doing it on the street, and as long as you're doing it in front of 15,000 people at a football stadium, you can do what you want, because I mean, that was disgusting.
Sly, cowardly, yeah, all of those. And well, he wouldn't have the balls to do it anywhere else, would he?
No, and nor would Bilic anymore, unfortunately.
No,
there was also some unsavoury scenes after the game. I'm actually just going to play you one more clip from the commentary.
As Charlton celebrate a victory that is hard on Accrington, they'll feel. We've battled to try and keep it at 0-0. Oh, and then Sykes is just... Oh, and Bowyer's having a dig at Sykes. Has just had a go at Bowyer. And Bowyer's had to be dragged away from him. Bowyer may well get himself in trouble here. And everybody's running to the tunnel as well. And Accrington have not dealt with this very well at all.
Charlton need to keep their heads, though, Terry. They really do. The emotions have run riot. And now there's Paul Argy-Pargy in the... tunnel.
Williams is being dragged out as well.
And Abisar's just come out and said,
Abisar cuddling Williams, trying to keep him away.
An absolute disgrace end to this game, though. I've never seen anything like it at the Valley. but emotions have been caught up. Well, I think two red cards, late penalty decision, added drama to what was a terrible game.
Well, Sykes brought that on by the tunnel. He went deliberately at Lee Bowyer and chested him away, you know, in that chest pump. He deliberately incited Lee Bowyer, who reacted, and then the players got involved. Nabi Sarr punches the air as he goes in the tunnel. Whether a tunnel jump now will be seen as inciting riots, I'm not sure. Will there be a tunnel jump? It stays out, and we'll stay with it just in case. And there it comes, and it's Williams, who does a tunnel jump almost by the edge of the penalty area. And then does a faux boxing manoeuvre.
Yeah, he's not quite got that right, if you ask me.
Well, what can you say? What an end to a game.
So there we go. I mean, it ended nicely with a tunnel jump, but I mean, that was, again, really unsavoury scenes. Now, I didn't really have a clear view on what happened. I asked Lee Bowyer, and he seems to have forgotten by the time I asked him. Terry, I saw it.
And
without.
No, all right, I'll be cautious.
Yeah.
Sykes just, he'd obviously got the, I mean, just before that, he'd taken out Patrick Bauer in the air, which is dangerous. I mean, really was dangerous. And again, another sort of cowardly challenge. Because they had the ump, clearly. When the referee blew the whistle, he just ran off. And Bowyer had done the fist pumping in front of the covered end, which was great. And then Bowyer's coming towards the tunnel, Sykes just ran straight past everybody, stopped, waited for Bowyer, and then sort of chest pumped him just into him. For no reason.
What's the point? I mean, if that's your tactics throughout the game to try and get into a team, but the game's over, you've lost it, just get over it.
Well, Bowyer had to be dragged away, basically. Otherwise, I mean, it's when you it's obviously the emotion of the moment, because you wouldn't deliberately do that to Lee Bowyer, would you? It's not going to end well, is it?
No, I've seen photos of Lee Bowyer punching the air. I've seen reports of him punching other stuff as well, but like I say, until no one's going to prove that, are they? But it's,
well, the thing with that though is that he kicked off again, because just the fact that he did it. And the good thing about the team spirit, I think, at the moment at Charlton, and you touched on it earlier, is quite a few of the players reacted positively, if you call it positively, in defence of Lee Bowyer, notably Williams and Nabi Sarr.
Yeah, Nabi is not one you'd want to mess with, because he's so big. Johnny Williams, you wouldn't have thought about it, because you see him on the documentary with Sunderland, he looks like the nicest person on earth. But yeah, as Terry said, Heather, it is sort of, and I know this is another thing like pitch invasions we're not supposed to like, but it is nice to see if something like that happens that everyone's got each other's backs.
Absolutely, and I think there was some fantastic coverage afterwards as well. Amazing photo of Nabi Sarr kind of hugging little Williams. But Sarr as well was walking around, I think it was after that had happened, and he basically came back out on the pitch and was being the enforcer, and he was walking around with his hands behind his back, sort of just posing in front of the Accrington players, kind of come on then if you're hard enough. Yeah, and of course, none of them dared to take him on.
Yeah, as you say, great to see Sarr hugging little Williams, and Billick was just pleased he was able to do something similar when he got home. we've talked about the last 10 minutes. We've literally only talked about the last 10 minutes so far. So we probably should touch on the rest of the match. I mean,
this shouldn't take long.
Yeah, first half we didn't have a shot on target, Nathan. I'll tell you, I mean, as you say, Accrington came with a plan, and they were doing quite well.
they had a game plan and it was working, but it was awful. I thought I didn't think we moved the ball quick enough. When we played Wimbledon, we'd done it right. You know, when they was deep, we moved the ball quick. But yeah, we were pretty poor first half, and I think it's probably one of the worst games in a while, well, the first half anyway. But like you say, credit to Accrington, and they were slowing the game down, keeping their shape. They were literally like man for man. So Billy Key was dropping in and covering Billick, so we didn't have no outlet. Similar to what Sunderland done, wouldn't let Billick have as an outball. But the first half it was pretty non-eventful. Like you say, we didn't have a shot on target. Pretty poor.
we came out. I mean, we should actually mention Dylan Phillips as well, with that big save from Luke Armstrong just before half time. I think unfairly, actually, he's probably been forgotten in all the praises of yesterday, because if that goes in, that's a different story.
I actually had him down as my man of the match. For that, if nothing else, but plus other stuff as well. But
was that Billy Key header second half as well,
that was crucial, that save in the first half. Guy was through, was it Armstrong, I think, wasn't
Armstrong,
it?
Armstrong, yeah.
Edge of the 6-yard box, you'd put your mortgage on it to score, wouldn't you? And Dylan Phillips did too. Not just to save the shot in the first place by spreading himself big, he then pounced on the loose ball to stop anybody else getting hold of it. So that was crucial, absolutely crucial for me.
And I feel like at the start of the second half, I mean, Taylor had those couple of bits on the right-hand side, and similar one in the first half, he put in a low cross that the keeper did well to deal with. Then he had a shot that was sort of just well saved by the keeper. Then as the half progressed, like I say, that last 15 minutes or so, we were starting to put them under the pressure again. We saw that Taylor shot that took the nick and just went wide. So that's why you felt like it was building to something. And I was worried that the red card would lose some of the momentum, but it didn't really.
We made that change shortly into the second half. That was a strong midfield we started with, but perhaps, in hindsight, maybe a little too defensive.
Yeah. Pratley.
With Billick and Cullen, all not similar players, that's not true, but we lacked a way of opening them up, and I think they overloaded on Phillips on pretty much every single occasion. It was two or three players near him, so he couldn't do what... There were little sparks, but nothing constant. As soon as we put Ben Reeves on, that spark seemed to happen, and we found more space. He found more space, and he opened them up a lot more, and I think we looked really threatening then, and you thought the goal was never going to come because, we were creating chances without actually really looking like scoring, probably. And then when we did, it was ruled out.
Yeah, but luckily we did get those 3 points in the end. Have we mentioned Naby Sarr's throw? I don't think we have yet, actually, as well. That was the highlight of the first half. Naby taking his gloves off and everything, the big run-up, the crowd building the anticipation, Accrington sort of retreating into their area, and then he throws it a yard to Johnny Williams, goes back to him, and he can't cross it. It was really funny. Arguably the best moment of the first half, but again, forgotten now after what happened in the second half. Right, I think we need to hear from Lee Bowyer. I'm praying this is going to work, Terry.
So am I.
Lee Bowyer, of course, came in to speak to Terry after the game. Yes, so don't forget, you can have your say on anything you want to. Loads of people already have, but you can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum and have your say. Also, we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer now. We're going to hear from Andy Holt later on in the show. We're also going to hear from Card, but let's hear what Lee Bowyer had to say. Right, I'm just going to do that. about yesterday's win over Accrington Stanley.
John Bailey here in the studio. And Lee, the end of that game didn't look like it was coming during the rest of the game, and absolutely mad into a game.
No, but what I would say is this, you've got two sets of players that are putting their body on the line and giving everything, and neither of them want to lose. And thankfully for us, we came out winners.
It was a game that, for the most part, must have been frustrating for you. Accrington clearly had a game plan to frustrate us, and they achieved that for the most part. So it was always going to take maybe something scruffy, something spectacular, or a dead set ball, set piece to win the game. And getting right towards the end, you must have thought that was never coming.
Yeah, I thought we created quite a few chances. First half, second half as well. Carlin just pulled his one wide, and it just didn't seem to drop for us. Like, second ball's in the box, and then it just seemed to fall for them all the time. And so I thought, yes, looks like it's going to be one of them days. And but it wasn't, and we kept going, and we kept battling, and we kept trying. And like I've said before, it's okay, you can go to, say, Shrewsbury last week and be very good and in possession and create loads of chances, and there's other times when you have to win ugly. You don't win every game perfectly, and I think the lads showed their commitment and their drive and hunger, like, to not to give in. And I've said to them again there, like, what we have in that dressing room is something special. And when we play at home, especially like the crowd, like, again, they don't realise, you know what I mean? Like, to drag them through to keep, in injury time, that is, and to keep going. Like, if the crowd would have gone the other way and start like moaning, then they might not have got that to the end there. So, again, they don't realise, like, it's just plays such a massive part. and the place was bouncing again, you know, and after everybody celebrating together, and it's just so good. I love it, mate. I love it. Like, it's great.
The to get to that point, we had to survive a couple of scares, and Dylan Phillips was called on one superb save, one on one, but a couple of times to keep us in it. Must be delighted with Dylan. Must be buzzing as well to be able to make a contribution like that.
Yeah, Dylan. Obviously, it's been tough for him, you know, and to come back in, and to be fair to him, I think he'd admit it himself, and I've said it to him already. Like, he's a better goalie now than the one that started at the start of the season. And today he made two very good saves. And I'm pleased for him, you know. Like, I want everybody to do well. Like, I want everyone to have, when they get a chance, to grab it. That's what I want. And I'm pleased for him.
We're going to talk about what happened at the end, obviously, and the goal and winning it. But is the important thing, one of the really important things for a Charlton side that may have in the past buckled under the sort of pressure that that teams like Accrington can put us under. Is that a sign of where we are now and where we've come from, that we withstand that sort of pressure now than perhaps we did wouldn't have done it in seasons past?
Yeah, that's a togetherness. And like I said, that ain't easy. Like you and people say about bringing players, it's great. It's great.
Well, the end sort of typified that sort of spirit. The penalty, when it came to us from the commentary position, looks fairly clear cut.
Yeah.
So quite what got the reaction he got. We're not entirely sure, unless there was something we were missing. But the reaction of the opposition brought a similar reaction from us, and that must be what you're talking about with the togetherness, not allowing a player of our team to be bullied, I guess.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, they're like a family. That's what they are. They're a family, and that's what I've tried to build. And I've drummed that into them, because you can't have individuals. So if someone's in trouble, you have to help them. It's like a brother, you know. He's walking down the street, something happens, you have to pull him away and try and help him. Like, that's unfortunately, that's the situation. That's what happens. And I would never change that. And then that just shows on the pitch. They help each other out, no matter what's happening, whether they're having a good time or a bad time. So, yeah, that they've got that. And no, I don't think over the years, certainly from the time I've been here, they never had that last season.
Carlin had a pressure penalty last week, probably for different reasons. He'd missed a few before stepping up to take that penalty. This time there was no choice. We had nobody else on the pitch perhaps to take it. But again, it's a pressure situation. But he took it well, took a superb penalty.
Yeah. Just shows his maturity at such a young age. Done the right thing, he stepped away and let everything calm down and put it away very well, because that was a pressure penalty in injury time and after everything that went on before it. Yeah, us appealing, I'm guessing 100% that they're going to appeal for their goalie, because I can't see what he's done wrong either. So yeah, I think that might be, should be something that they'd turn over.
If it's not successful, of course, it could mean a three-game ban. I don't know quite how long you get for that sort of thing, but does that put pressure on you to try and bring in a replacement?
No, not at the moment. Not at the moment. I don't think we'll see what happens, but I can't just decide on that now.
We're talking about togetherness and the team spirit, and I can't leave this without mentioning it. Right at the end there, as we were players and everybody were disappearing down the tunnel there, number 15, the biggest lad on, probably in South East London at the minute, seemed to keep on walking right into here, and that got a great reaction from the likes of Naby Sarr and Johnny Williams.
Yeah, don't know why. Obviously, the lads disappointed because they lost. I get that, but I didn't take the penalty. I don't know why he passed into me.
But the reaction of your players shows exactly what you were talking about before.
Yeah, but this is what I mean. We all look after each other. That's football. That's what we've built here, and that's what will give us a good chance of getting promotion.
So, I mean, the end justifies the means, I guess. The victory brings 3 points, which now creates almost like a little gap at the top there, which must be pleasing. A little bit of comfort zone.
Yeah, not even that. Just looking at the two above us, that's all we're doing. Two or three above us, whoever's above us, but I'm looking at Portsmouth and they're 4 points in front of us. That's one win. That's nothing. Obviously, they've got to come here soon as well. It's a lot of football to be played between now and the end of the season. 17 games left? So, yeah, it's this is a time, and I said this before, this is a time when you need to go on a run. And hopefully we can do that and get in that top two spot. Because I believe once we get into that top two, that's it. I don't think we'll come out.
Well, the likes of Josh Cullen coming back today, looked like he'd never been away. You've got George Lepsley on the bench, Ben Reeves coming back in.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And Williams exchange passes. Williams drifts past his man, born in the box. It's an awkward one. Taylor controls. Taylor trying to pass it back to Prattley. Strike!
Oh, my word!
Taylor Prattley! Strike. What a strike from the Charlton midfielder on the edge of the box. Touchdown by Lyle Taylor. And Darren Prattley unleashes a hell of a strike past Arnold down to his left. Could do nothing about that one.
There we go. Welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. We just heard bits and pieces of Lee Bowyer there. I think we heard most of it. Speaking after yesterday's win, speaking to Terry. yeah, he's right. He didn't take the penalty. I mean, he was on good form. I loved a bit where he was sort of crowing about how much he loves the Valley when it gets going, Till.
I think, as I mentioned before, with Sykes picking on the wrong person, you know Lee Bowyer likes a battle, didn't you? I mean, during his playing days, he liked to scrap, he liked to get stuck in. So, you know, you would expect anybody that's under his charge as a manager would need to have the same mentality. And we saw that in abundance yesterday, I thought. And it just shows a togetherness that I don't think we've seen for a while. Mm. Apart from the squad he's assembled this season,
yeah.
And back into last, I think he's brought together, and not just him, of course. You've got Gallen and Johnny Jackson have contributed to that as well. It's just something different. It just gives the impression that there's something special going on behind the scenes, which we haven't had. Well, certainly haven't had it since Chris Powell's day, have we?
Yeah, just to give perhaps quickly the other side of the story now, we don't always do this, but because it was quite a fiery game, an interesting game yesterday, I've taken a bit of audio from Accrington's YouTube page. Jimmy Bell, their assistant manager, was asked about how they saw the end of the game yesterday.
I've decided to come. I specifically asked John, could I do the press today? I'm incensed by what went on in the last couple of minutes. What the referee said to me is why I'm here. I might get myself into a little bit of hot water saying this, but the officials need to stand up and come out and explain the decision of why Charlton won the game today. A referee has turned round to me and said he didn't think it was a penalty. Now, who's officiating the game? John Busby is in charge of the game. He's got a bird's eye view of the incident, and he's let an official who's working for him give a major, major decision in added on time, who, in my opinion, cannot even see the incident. Mr. Busby is looking right directly at the incident. He turned round to me and said, I don't think it was a penalty, Jimmy. But when one of my officials is adamant that it was, I have to go with him. And I just don't understand where he's coming from. You know, there was a lot of hard work went into this game today against a very, very good Charlton team. Great support, a great stadium, everything. Very, very good team. And we worked our socks off. What was it, for 92 minutes? Whatever it was, 91, 92 minutes. We defended resolutely, and when something like that happens, it's really hard to bear.
I suppose it's more than frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a lot more than frustrating. As I say, you've got an official who sent our goalkeeper off, apparently, and I've got it, you know, he's adamant, Johnny Mack said adamant, that he has done absolutely nothing, that he got assaulted in the box by their striker. Now, we get our keeper sent off. He got kicked in the chest, he said, and he's fell on top of him. He's threw him off, and he's got sent off. So, again, a major, major decision that's gone against us. And it's one that we're really et up about.
Interesting that in the town... there we go, forgot to turn the monitor off. In the town of Accrington, people's chests are sort of shin height.
They're a small bunch.
Yeah, it's very strange. Very strange from Jimmy Bell there. Throwing the word assault around when one of your own players has stamped on someone's head is a funny way to go about things. Right, let's have a look at some of the tweets that started coming in yesterday. First one coming from Jimmy C. He said, hate to say it, but if Lyle Taylor is out, should we consider the dreaded 4-2-3-1 formation? We have the players to make it work now. Heather, do you think we have enough forward midfielders? It might be an option.
I think it's about all we've got left, really, isn't it? Otherwise, it's Wilberforce Ockren, who I hadn't heard of until yesterday, I must admit.
It's always been a rule of mine that you shouldn't get into the team based purely on how good your name is, but maybe, I mean, that is a good name.
It's quite cool.
So
yeah,
maybe I would change my opinion. I didn't even get into the starting 11 when we went down to the Kent Senior Cup game the other day, didn't he?
He's not even listed on the back of the programme.
No, exactly, we signed him from Barnsley, I think, in the summer. Daniel said, if he's out, we need to get another loan in fast. We need a third quality striker to push them both. Although Bowyer clearly said he's not, just because of the situation we're in now. Of course, Rico Hackett-Fairchild is also injured. He hurt his ankle, I think it was. It's unlikely that we're going to jump into it just because...
Well, there's two things. One, we don't know how serious Rico's ankle injury is. It could just be something that's kept him out this week alone, in which case that might be why Lebo is saying that. And we also don't know how far away. Do we know how far away Igor is?
No, I don't know.
They
might feel that
again.
If they're back in the next couple of weeks, we can manage. But then maybe he's also thinking, because he was quite adamant that we were going to appeal the red card, maybe he's thinking it won't be that big a deal because he'll get off.
We'll get banned for the rest of the season. Martin's just tweeted in saying the Accrington assistant is wrong. No way would a referee have said that to him in the first place and said, he said, Taylor assaulted the keeper. He disagrees with him, does Martin. Right, John Goff said, it's 4 a.m, just woken up, I can't get back to sleep. That last 13 minutes inside the valley was pandemonium. Vital 3 points for Charlton, looking forward to Charlton Live as well. Surely Lyle's red card will be rescinded. Great chance from the stamping clips we've all seen thus far. I mean, I still, even if you've been stamped on the head, if you've gone and kicked someone, which I'm not saying he's kicked him, but he's moved his leg towards him, then I still don't think it will be rescinded. But hopefully that's just me being negative. And we'll see. Right, Lewis Hurst says, the first half was shocking, but we deserved the second half goal. Could have been a very different game if not for Phillips. The wrong players got red cards. Lyle and their keeper did barely anything, while other Accrington players were kicking lumps out of him. John Agambar says, we found a way eventually. That's the main thing at the end of the day. Still not sure what Taylor did. Can you help? Well, yeah, I think we've sort of touched on that now. We'll see. I mean, like I say, Lyle Taylor was quite adamant that he didn't do anything wrong. So hopefully there's a better angle than what I've seen that will sort of exonerate him. But we'll see. Right, 100% Charlton. First half, not the greatest, but they made it hard for us. Second half, a lot better. Accrington, the dirtiest side I have seen. Disgusting from a number of players. Hopefully Lyle's red will be overturned and bring on Peterborough. Love the passion from Bowyer at the end. I was going to say, Nath, Bowyer's, we were even saying it last week after the Shrewsbury game, he never sounds that excitable even when we've won a game. But I think that, you know, punching the air and other stuff, as he was yesterday, I think that's really the first time we've seen that.
Yeah, I can't remember. He usually keeps quite
a calm persona.
Yeah, because I think he obviously sets standards and sometimes we don't hit them. But it was the first time I've seen it. Because usually he does a clap, doesn't he, you know, but yeah. I've not seen him. But I think it was, like I said earlier, I just think the last 15 minutes, it was just mad. And yeah, it was only Accrington at home. And I know people aren't jumping on the bandwagon because of that reason or whatever. Everyone's due to their own opinion. But I just think with the relief like that, it just shows how much everyone wants it. And it was a big win. Let's not forget, it was only Accrington. But, Pompey dropped points. And if we win next Saturday, we'll be 9 points clear of Borough. Do you know what I mean? So it was a big... it was a big win. It was a big relief, and obviously, I think Bose knew that by judging by his fist pump at the end.
Mm. Right, Cliff Scales, we played better in the second half. They made it hard for us. Still cannot understand why Taylor and their keeper were sent off. The red cards should have gone to Sykes and Finley, who both stamped on Taylor. Accrington players lost their heads and let their club down. Mark Windham, hopefully Lyle Taylor's red card gets overturned. If not, we need to bring in a striker on loan ASAP. Also, their number 14 should get a nice ban. He comes steaming in, looks at Lyle on the floor and then stamps. He said, that's why I can't understand, Heather. I don't know why. I'm not asking you this just because you live in Glasgow. But what is it that literally possesses someone to walk over and stamp someone in the head? No matter, I've lost games of football in five-a-side. I've never stamped on anyone's head. It's just bizarre.
I wouldn't have a clue. I could only think he was jealous of his hair.
Yeah.
No, that might be it, you see. We might be looking at it completely the wrong way.
Mm. excellent stuff. Right, F. James, what an ending. What a brilliant 3 points. Forget about the dreadful game. We won, lads, and that's the aim. Well done, Louis, on your goal celebration. Cheers, F. Beats my Churchillian effort into touch. Great show from you all. Always a great listen. On we go, and make sure we all have our posh attire on. Tom says... Tom Bramley, not the best performance yesterday, but the second half was encouraging going into Peterborough game next week. The Accrington players were an embarrassment. Two of their players both stamped on Taylor while he was on the floor with the number 14 stamping on his head. Yeah, so yeah, the number 14, Finley, it was Finley who took the head, and it was Sykes who seemed to be, I mean, you can see there's a really good photo from Kyle Andrews, who was right there in the thick of it taking the photos, and he seems to be sort of stamping on his legs or his feet. Which is just, it's just bizarre. I honestly, I don't know if they're just trying to wind him up to get him sent off. Now, Charlton Exile says that Lee Bowyer deserves so much credit. The team spirit he has built is remarkable. He has got everyone believing again and very measured in all he says to the media. Brackets, so much better than that last bloke. Yeah, you'll remember that Charlton Exile was never a big fan of when Carl Robinson... He used to walk out of the room when Carl Robinson's clips were coming on. Right, Matt Broad, not enough characters to go through all the incidents from yesterday's game, but I just want to say wrong red cards given, but two others from the Stanley should have gone. You're right, Terry, what are you doing?
He's looking at the stamp.
I'm trying to find a stamp.
Okay. 100% Charlton says, remember to turn the stream on this week. Yeah, I did, thank you. Mark Anderson, yesterday was like the old days. It was fantastic. And he says, bring on the next one. And he's attached a photo. Oh, it's an old... Oh, Terry, you're going to have to come around and tell me who this old player is, actually. It's before my time.
Cheek.
Up to you, Terry.
Yeah. He's got a perm. He's got like a black eye bleeding from there. Here we
he's
go.
Got one of those balls they have to lace up.
That's Shipperley.
Shipley. Not Shipperley.
All right.
So is it George?
Yeah. George Mark Anderson, Shipley. Let's know who that player is.
George Shipley.
There we go. Right. Forzo, Marco Motta. Don't think Accrington Stanley were cheats, as some have suggested. They seem to have lost their heads after missing out on a hard-earned point. They're only human. A great result, even. So, yeah, I'd argue that... If stamping on someone's head, I don't know if that's cheating or not, it's just fuggery. But you'd assume the reason they were giving the little digs into Lyle Taylor while he was on the floor was to try and get a reaction from him in order to get him sent off and therefore take our, you know, one of our best players out of the game for the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think so. I think during the game, they'll always try and, you know, kick out at Taylor, like you say, for a reaction. But when someone's on the floor... And you're over them, and you're doing what you're doing. That's just cowardly. I don't. They might have been looking for a reaction, but I just think they were like, I think they're like hunting pack sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like wolves, they were like savages, but very cowardly. But
it can be effective. Remember, Shrewsbury last team were built on a team that would not let the other side play by putting in fouls every 10 seconds. It was like, and we really struggled with that at times against Shrewsbury last season. You can see it can be effective and it can work, and you can see why teams do it to try and. You know, get the willies up a team that should be able to play some good football, but obviously there's a line, and I think they not only crossed it, they stamped on it. Accrington yesterday, right? Tom said, "No way should Taylor have been sent off." Accrington assistant manager saying that Taylor assaulted him is a load of rubbish. Thought the players were a disgrace on what should have been a good, clean game. Considering the day, yeah, street violence ruined lives game yesterday. I mean, that was a slight juxtaposition there. And then Tom Ridgen adds, thought Carlin showed so much composure in slotting home that penalty, and Ross Sykes should be arrested for GBH. I mean, I genuinely don't know why it's allowed on a football pitch and not allowed on the street. Albert says, sorry, Luke, Accrington got what they deserve, which is nothing. The worst team I have seen at the Valley. I mean, do you think they were the worst team? I don't think I'd go that far in terms of footballing ability, but they were certainly the worst team in terms of like being nasty ever.
I mean, I think there are probably some afters from the game up there, reading between the lines a little bit. And I think Boya said as much at one point as well, that there were a few kind of feuds carried forward. I did read something pretty nasty as well. And one of the reasons maybe why Johnny Williams was behaving the way he did at the end was that he had a few comments about how they were going to break his leg and everything during the game. Yeah. And you can imagine he's maybe a wee bit sensitive to that.
He can normally manage that on his own.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, yeah, not nice. Right, Jonathan Ackworth says, we need a striker. Let's go get Norwood at Tranmere and CJ Hamilton, who scored again yesterday. CJ Hamilton up at Mansfield, obviously now Nicky Ajoze's teammate. He looked lively. He scored against us in the FA Cup earlier on in the season up at their place. I did actually think he looked quite good, so maybe not a bad shout from Jonathan there. Ian says, cracking entertainment, but the ref, he lost control. Should have cracked down on all the shirt pulls and wrestling in the first half with yellows, including Billick. Lack of protection for the lino after the penalty was criminal and worse than sending off the players. Ev again says, sloppy performance. We allowed Stanley to bully us all over the park. Final extra 5 minutes were the best I've seen all season. As for Taylor's red, it's an instant rescind. As for Sykes, he needs locking up. GBH, nasty bit of work. And then he goes, sorry to mention again, Louis, your excitement at the pen is priceless. Such honour to you. Still laughing. Cheers, Ev. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Martin, well, the red cards were given to the wrong player. Simple as that. The clear stamp on Taylor's head, albeit not very hard, but the intent was there, was an utter disgrace. And if not retrospectively dealt with, it would be a joke. I mean, it doesn't really matter how hard you're doing it if you've got studs on tail, does it?
Yeah, exactly that. And I'm surprised, actually, that Lyle Taylor didn't have more damage to his head, given the one on the floor. I haven't actually seen the stamp. I've only seen the still photo of his leg hovering over it just as he was about to. But the one on his head is clear, and it's a rake down the back of his head, or down the top of his head, sorry, while he's on the floor, and that's going to hurt. And he's lucky he didn't cut his head open.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, Oliver Dalton says, Fort Charlton with a better team. Accrington and Stanley were a decent side, but we deserved the win, no doubt. We're on our way up, coming your res. Right, nice one from Jake Wilkes. He said, had a cracking day with 30 kids from Sandhurst Primary School in the East End yesterday. Accrington's number 14 was disgraceful, grabbing himself and making rude gestures at the children who were booing him. Shameful from him. why do people do these sort of things?
Sounds like a nice chap, doesn't he?
Yeah, it does, doesn't he? Yeah. Right, home to you, Mum.
Daniel, someone else tweeting that they're glad I turned the stream on this week. Oh, I did. I forgot to turn the stream on once. Okay, it's only ever happened
it's
once.
It's going to haunt you, that one.
Yeah. Vital Charlton, a very tough game yesterday. We could have played better, but it was a real physical match, and thankfully we got there in the end. Tough games like this is what League One is all about. Dr. Lazarus, no three-word review, but finally an answer to the age-old Accrington Stanley, who are they questions. They're muggy, muggy boom bums. That's who they are.
Quality.
Oh, and Saw loses too. It's nice when someone actually filters their tweet before I have to do it or censors it. Because not like even Martin's tweet earlier, I had to censor it for him. Dr. Lazarus did it for me. Well done, Dr. Lazarus. Bob Liskam, evening, guys. Not able to listen live, but just wanted to say I can't believe none of the videos show the Accrington Stanley keeper kick out at Lyle on the ground. I was behind in the northwest quadrant and I saw it clearly.
That's funny. My daughter's boyfriend was also behind a goal, and said to me after the game in the car on the way home, definitely he saw the keeper kick Lyle Taylor.
Well, there you
He's
go.
Adamant he did. Now, I haven't seen any of that, but
well,
he,
I don't know if anyone's
adamant.
Got any good footage from behind the goal. Cause at the South End game, when we had that brawl, there was a really good bit of footage from within the stand where you could clearly see all three red card offences. So it'd be interesting to see if anyone was nearby or just happened to be filming, because often people get their camera phones out when it's a corner. So I wouldn't be shocked if there's any way we can grass up Accrington. Send the footage in, get into the Met Police or whoever needs to deal with that. Right, Danny. Owen says, yesterday's performance was gritty and last season would have probably settled for a draw. The scenes after the penalty show how far we've come this season. The fans really have helped this team this season, without a doubt. I did... Yeah, as I said earlier, it's just bizarre. It's just great even to see the scenes, and I'm just not really used to seeing it at the Valley at times, unfortunately, but it was brilliant yesterday. Right, Soapy Fingers tweeted in, Reeves, did make the difference. Rest were sloppy generally. One of those games where you just don't feel like we're going to score until we do. What a finish to a generally poor game. Even the East End old boys were effing and blinding. Tim Jackson, listening to the commentary and the adrenaline is pulsing through my veins again. Well done, Terry and Greg. I'm cheering the penalty award and swearing listening to the build-up from Terry and Greg, even though I know what happened next. 2,300 of us at Peterborough next week, and I cannot wait. Damien says, did anyone find out what happened exactly in the tunnel? Well, there's all sorts of rumours sort of going around.
Well, I've just seen a picture of the tunnel from the outside, and it was moving around quite considerably.
It was shaking all over the place.
There was plenty going on in there, just nobody seems to know what.
That's why they have a tunnel, so you can do what they want in private. Soapy Finger back involved again. Seen a video of the incident with Lyle Taylor. Shocking behaviour from Stanley players. Red cards must be overturned and needs a full investigation from the authorities. If Lyle Taylor does get a ban, does that clear yellow cards which are also hanging over him? I don't know.
I don't think so, I'm afraid.
Richard Justham, what is it about Northern teams who I used to like? Stanley reminded me of Les Parry's Tranmere, anti-football. Yeah, as I say, it did sort of sour the relationship that we built with the Accrington board before the game, because they're really nice, and we are going to hear from Andy Holt in a minute. It's actually interesting, we should say it now, Andy Holt, he was tweeting about an Accrington fan who seems to have picked up a shiner, which obviously, you know, if that's come from a Charlton fan, that'd be hugely disappointing. And obviously no one wants to see that. And then a couple of people have tweeted him about his own players, and he said that they will look at that internally, which you hope they'll do that properly, Nath, because, I mean, there's one thing having a team that's going to try and break up play and be a little bit nasty, but there's another thing having a player in your team who's going to stamp on someone's head.
Yeah, and it doesn't put... It doesn't put a good light on a club of Accrington, and obviously I don't think Andy will be very happy with it, because he's got this reputation of being a nice club, and I'm sure he will take matters into his own hands and be dealt with. But yeah, it was just a bit of a strange, from that 80th minute onwards, it just seemed to be absolute madness. But yeah, hopefully he does something, and obviously the FA look into all of the scenes.
Yeah, Soapy Finger saying, talking about what Jimmy Bell said about the referees supposedly telling Accrington's officials that he himself didn't think it was a penalty. I mean, and then the line's been given it. I mean, for starters, that is why you have extra officials, because if the referee doesn't see it clearly, but
it does make. I mean, let's say he did exactly what the guy said. That he said he didn't think
Jimmy
it was
Bell.
A penalty. Yeah. Mm. So let's say that's true. He was looking straight at it.
Yeah.
And we've seen the still photos. We've seen the live. The guy puts his hand out and stops the ball going towards the goal with his hand. Now, how can that not be a handball? Let's assume that the referee thinks that it wasn't. He should be banned just for that.
Mm.
Now, if an official, a linesman, who's in completely the worst angle, can see it, and see it clearly, and tells him he could see it clearly, why couldn't he, looking straight at it? Makes no sense to me. All it does is it shows just how inept quite a number of the officials that we have in League One currently are. It's just nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah, it goes without saying. Right, Sebo says, the current appeal system is wrong. The panel need to look at the whole picture. Clubs need to put the argument of mitigating circumstances, not just clear and obvious. I'm saying this... in what if Lyle doesn't get his red card overturned? We should be able to put forward that he was trying to get up. He's naturally going to catch someone with his foot when he's that crowded. You wouldn't just lie on the floor taking it. A panel should have a player on, a manager on it, not just amateur refs. 100% Charlton. Also wanted to give a big shout out to Dylan Phillips for that great save to stop Accrington scoring in that first half yesterday. Says take a bow. Dylan, right, Sebo, I said, I wonder if Bowes is playing Sir Alex style mind games when he says he isn't bringing in a striker. Well, we hope so, but he's normally reasonably up front if he's close to someone coming in, isn't he? So we'll see. MICFC, Lyle was very frustrated and definitely tried to slide his feet towards the keeper when they were both on the ground. It was right in front of us, and that is what I think I've seen on the video, if I'm being totally honest. And even if it is, you know, a slide rather than a kick or just any form of movement, I don't think it will get overturned from what I've seen. I really hope I get proved wrong. Roger Trask, I travelled to the Valley yesterday via Las Vegas. I mean, that's not a good idea, is it? I came via Lewisham. Landed at Gatwick at 9 a.m. time. I got home, had shower, and then went to the game. I sat there for the first 80 minutes thinking, why did I bother? I could have been in bed instead. That last 15, including stoppages, was well worth it. I was chatting to... a Charlton fan, a season ticket holder, who comes over from Holland yesterday in the pub after Jacko. He's a friend of Mads. He wanted me to do an interview, and I will do an interview with him when he's not the drunkest man I've ever seen. But he was, yeah, really, really excellent support to come over from Holland to see the lads. Right, Liz says, Charlton Live fans from Mexico. Oh, excellent. Excellent. Cheers, Liz. She says, reviewing the red card should get their numbers 14 and 15, a deserved bit of trouble. Looking at the video and photos, both red cards look very dodgy. Our penalty, we were lucky. Always enjoy your show, boys. Thank you. Next one, we'll be back in England. Excellent, Liz. Thanks for that. And then Mark says, not a great first half. Improved in the second half and deserved the win, but we were far from comfortable. Obviously, we need the penalty to get 3 points. It was 110% a penalty. Positive sign that we're getting 3 points in games where we don't play great. Excellent. Right, we've still got loads of emails and forum posts to come on to, but I just want to move to another subject. Now, yesterday, Andy Holt, the owner of Accrington Stanley, so the chairman, was invited by the Supporters Trust to come and meet and greet some Charlton supporters up at the Swan Pub in the upstairs. I went along to speak to him beforehand. I'll play the interview with him now, and then Heather, you'll be able to tell us a bit more about the event. But so this is the Accrington Stanley chairman, Andy Holt.
Things seem to be looking up on the field of play for Charlton, but behind the scenes, instability at the club shows no signs of easing off. Belgian owner Roland Duchatelet, the target of fans' protests throughout the years, has still yet to offload the South Londoners, despite putting the club on the market over a year ago. Today's visitors to the Valley, Accrington Stanley, are at the opposite end of the spectrum when it comes to ownership. Andy Holt has won awards for his stewardship of Stanley, and he's accepted an invitation to join members of the Charlton Supporters Trust for a pie, a pint and a chinwag before today's game. And he also joins us now on BBC Radio London. Andy, before we start, I mean, Accrington Stanley's first season in League One, you must be really pleased with how it's gone so far.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, we for years we were lucky to stay alive, so to be in League One now and be profitable, stable and fairly well organised is, you know, brilliant, fantastic.
As I mentioned, I mean, you've won awards for your work with the club. What do you think it is that makes for a good football club owner?
Well, I don't want to sound too corny, but when I first got involved in the club, I got involved because of the community, because if I didn't get involved, it'd have gone bust. So that was the only reason I got involved. I don't want to open, own a football club, but I didn't want to do one then. So I kind of got my instruction from fans. So they're telling you, and if you listen to them, it's fairly easy, how the game should be. And we started doing that. We have a great rapport. We need the fans. It's their club. We're building a fantastic little community club, and that's the remit. I've never said we'll be in League One, never said we'll be in League Two, Conference, Championship, or wherever we are. We're going to be a great club at any level.
Of course, the problems between the fans and the owners at Charlton and clubs like Coventry or Blackpool are well documented. I mean, you've been quite vocal in calls for reform with the way that the EFL treat their clubs. I mean, in what way would you like to see the authorities sort of take hold of clubs that could be seen as problem clubs?
Well, it's there isn't an authority there that can do it, and that's the problem. So the misunderstanding in football is that if you get a rogue owner or somebody that just don't want to play, it's EFL's responsibility to sort it out, or the FA's, and it isn't, and that's the problem. So EFL will defer to company law, so as long as an owner's acting within company law, he's fine, and there's no other kind of basic rule of operating procedure that anybody signs up to in the first place. So provided he's acting within company law, he's free to do what he wants. The problem with company, it doesn't go hand in hand with community, so the people that are using or belong to the club are left behind, because I've got several businesses, you know, I've got 300-400 staff, and if I take a business risk and a business fails, I close it down, take my loss and move on. But you can't do that in football. So treating football as a business doesn't work. You can't do what you'd normally do in business, because it affects so many people's lives. People that were there 50, 100 years ago. So football is a business up until it's not. So and you've got two halves of football. You've got the business side and the community side. And in the middle you've got EFL, FA and all the bodies that don't stray into them sides, don't stray into them halves. You need a regulator that sets the rules, that can intervene when things go wrong, like it has done at Charlton.
Yeah, you've spoken a lot on Twitter about the need for an independent regulator. I mean, do you think that's possible, that people can get together and get that one set up?
Well, I were in Parliament the other day, and they told me there was one. but the Premier League took it over and decided to start paying for it. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's what the MPs told me. So they said when the Premier League started out, there was one. I mean, without one, we've really got no hope, because the EFL taking action against the club infuriates fans. Doing things against fans infuriates the club. And don't forget, it's a collegiate. EFL's a great body. Everybody's good. They misunderstand what it's there for. You know, it's there to create a competition. And as an owner, I own a 72nd of the EFL. So does every other club owner. And it's a collegiate affair. We go to Portugal and have a few beers and have a good laugh and all that. And we don't like going against other owners. So even if there's a bad owner, we wouldn't criticise each other. And we vote on the rules. So there's a natural reluctance to vote on any rules that tie owners down. Now, as an owner, if I were just an owner and a businessman, that would be great. But I'm not. I live in communities, so I know what people are telling me.
And of course, you're probably going to hear some interesting questions from the Charlton fans today. Looking forward to speaking to them.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, look, it's like speaking to anybody else. You treat them as normal like anybody else in Accrington or Burnley or Charlton or London or anywhere around the world. They're normal people. As long as you're honest and straight, you never have a problem. You've got to listen, though, as well as talking.
So there we go, Andy Holt, the Accrington Stanley owner. I found it really fascinating just to chat to him for 5 minutes or so yesterday. Heather, of course, the Trust arranged for him to come down. I stayed for the first sort of 10 minutes or so before I had to come down, before I had to come back to the ground. But I was really enjoying the event, and it is an unusual event for the Supporters Trust to need to ask an owner of a different football club to come speak to them.
Well, obviously, you'll understand the frustrations that we've had in trying to get our own owner into the same room as fans. That's only been going on for about 5 years. So it was a suggestion from one of the members, actually. Well, why didn't we give it a go and ask him? So just before Christmas, Richard Wiseman, the chair of the trust, contacted Accrington, and within a matter of days got a positive reply.
And he's full of ideas, isn't he, Andy, about how football could be reformed? And he talks a lot about perhaps an independent regulator to try, because he says it himself, like, the football clubs themselves vote on the rules, and they're very unlikely to vote on a rule that is going to upset one of their mates who might own a different club.
I mean, what he said, it was towards the end of the hour or so that he conducted the Q&A. He basically said that the EFL, the FA and the Premier League individually are doing a good job, but collectively it's a problem because no one's actually looking at the whole. And he gave an analogy that really kind of struck home for me. Basically, he said it's like a posh street where you've got three really posh houses, the EFL house, the FA house and the Premier League house, and they've got great big walls around them. And inside the garden and the house, everything's lovely, everything's rosy. Whereas outside, there's all sorts of chaos. There's potholes in the street, there's kids fighting, there's, you know, whatever going on.
Players and stamping on people's
heads.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. He didn't actually say that at the time, but he might now. So I think, you know, he admitted he felt that the game was broken because of the disparity caused by the money at the top of the game and it not filtering down to the lower divisions, and that's only getting worse and worse and worse. And that, you know, clubs should be able to achieve based on merit, not on money. But that's just not the way it works.
It was a really nice event for the Supporters Trust. I mean, it helps that, I don't know, I like pubs, but it was a nice pub as well, this one, the upstairs room. So, I mean, do you think the Supporters Trust will look to put on more events like that? Obviously, you could try Roland, but he probably won't come. But other sorts of events like that, former players or something like that?
Yeah, definitely. We're really keen to do it. The pub were great, really cooperative. The other Heather Alderson, made a fantastic pie, which I think went down extremely well. Yes. Andy Holt himself certainly enjoyed it. And I think we're looking to do stuff, hopefully a few more events through to the end of the season. If it's well supported, then, you know, we'd love to make it a really regular thing and take it from there. And I think any suggestions on what we might call it, open to offers. Supporters Trust Bar sounds a bit too serious to me. I don't know.
Yeah, excellent. I mean, obviously, we all enjoyed yesterday's game and the performance, and it's nice for 90 minutes to not have to think about if things were slightly different here, we could be even better. But that is still the case, you know, we haven't signed anyone for money, we haven't spent any money on players for a long time now. And we all know the reasons behind that. The Trust have been vocal in their disappointment with the way that Roland's running the club, and I guess nothing really has changed on that front.
No, no. I mean, I think, again, quite a lot of the questions yesterday obviously did revolve around the Charlton situation to Andy. But the reality was he didn't really have any answers either, to be honest. And he felt very strongly that clubs are about community. And you heard that in the clip there, that, you know, football can't really be run as a business. It just doesn't really hit the, you know, meet those same rules. So essentially it has to be there for the community. And I think the kind of thing that he's doing is some of the things that Charlton used to do. He talked about the importance of bringing in kids, and they give out, I think, basically a free shirt to every 8-year-old in the town. So it's like 1,200 free shirts a year that they give out. So to make sure that young kids are wandering around in Accrington shirts, now they may have a Man U one or a Burnley one or whatever as well, but just to try and get them involved with the club. And you look at, we do a lot of that kind of stuff still through the community trust at Charlton, but everything feels like it's just a bit spread out and split up at the moment because there's no leadership. You know, there's no one at the top of the club with that vision for where we go and how we take it forward.
Yeah, right. Dodger CAFC tweets, and let's not put a negative on a positive. I have no interest for any opponents that come to the Valley. I want Charlton to win regardless of how it comes. Far too many people show too much sympathy for opposing teams. We need to make the Valley hostile. I can't think of a single person who's shown any sympathy to Accrington Stanley yesterday, Artful, so I have to admit I've no idea what you're talking about there. Right, let's get on to some of the forum posts from yesterday. Southwest Addicts, a clean sheet, 3 points, 90th minute winner, and a large brawl for good measure. Biggest positives was that we kept plugging away until the very end. Man of the match was Dylan Phillips. He made two vital saves in both halves, and a strong cameo from Ben Reeves. John from Norfolk, don't forget to turn the broadcast on, Louis. Rossman, next three games will really show the billicks this team has. I've had to change that. Might be a pun intended there. Think we've got the midfield options right now that can make up some of the creativity we'll miss from Lyle. Might have to go with a different formation from what we've been doing, but I think we still have got the players to do it. Well, that ties in nicely with what Jim Dutton said about the dreaded 4-2-3-1. Cabby says, who is in charge of the music on match days? We need to get some intimidating music on before kickoff and before the Red Red Robin comes on, and after the final whistle, whack it up loud and get a decent song on. Was thinking Ain't No Stopping Us would have been superb after yesterday's game. I don't know who does the music now, actually. I've no idea, because it used to be Glove Pup.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, although in fairness, whoever's doing it, we have won 10 of our home games so far this season, which is remarkable. There must be seasons where we haven't won 10 home games all season, so to have done that already is very impressive. Red Chaser, not sure I agree with Boya not being in any urgency to sign a striker. Igor is not expected back until the end of February, and Taylor, even if he gets the red card overturned, he is only two yellows away from 10 bookings and a ban anyway. Yeah, I do think it, for me, I was slightly surprised by the fact that he did say he's still not going to change it, even though we've literally got Wilberforce Ockran on the bench at the moment.
But you alluded to it before, he's not necessarily going to play all his cards in the media, is he? He's not going to go out and say, yeah, I'm definitely going to look for a striker, because it'll probably put the price up. And admittedly, we're only going to get anybody on loan anyway, but it'll still make his negotiating hand a little bit tougher if he freely admits he's desperate for one.
Yeah,
I'm hoping, anyway. That's me clutching at straws.
Yeah. Got to make sure he holds on to Grant as well.
As well.
I mean, never seen that becomes
critical.
Yeah,
well, we'll see. I know people have been talking about a link with Millwall as well on the Sun, but that was from the... Yeah, who knows? Who knows? We'll see. LTK on the forum says, just a thought, had Lyle gotten up with a bloodied head, the ref possibly wouldn't have even red-carded the lad and turns his cards elsewhere. I mean, yeah, possibly that would have been the case, but... he needs to take a blood capsule like that rugby player. You know, rugby players are wusses, aren't they? And they take those blood capsules onto the pitch. And there we go. Right, a couple more tweets that came in. Don't forget, we're still going to hear from Card before the end of the show as well. Heather Alderson on their meeting with the EFL during the week. But at Charlton Soul, moments like that win promotion. Yet more ground gained on our rivals. There isn't a single team in the league that I fear. Our running is the most favourable of the top six. Best of all, the players know it too. Shout out to my mate and lifelong Charlton fan, Joe Armson, who has just found out he's expecting twins, and he's promised to call them Seb and Lewis. That is proper, that is. Phil says, hi guys, 9 p.m. on Saturday night, and I've just about calmed down. Whilst Accrington Stanley might be a nice little club, their players acted like a bunch of thugs by kicking. The kicking by Sykes on Taylor was disgraceful. They got what they deserved, absolutely nothing. Just glad to get that game out of the way. I knew it wouldn't be a spectacle in terms of in pure football terms. Wouldn't it be nice if Rowland gave Bowyer a new striker, as we're going to need one if Taylor gets a ban? You never know. That's Phil Cullen from Eltham. Yeah, it's always unlikely. I mean, hopefully we'll look for one on loan. But yeah, I doubt we'll be going out and signing Harry Kane or anything like that anytime soon. Right, Chris Davin says, fight, fight, fight. Who'd have thought it? 80-odd minutes not a lot happening, and then madness. Imagine being one of those weirdos who leaves games early. When Carlin converted the penalty, everyone went mental, barring the 100 or so Aki fans. I think it was 188, I think.
188.
Yeah, yeah. It was if we'd won the league, Arsenal at Anfield, 89 styly. There's a real momentum building down SE7. All of us are in this together. Hopefully Naby Sarr's recent performances have put to bed this worries me. He's got a mistake in him stuff. He's every good as bit as Bauer. Williams seems to be the missing piece in the jigsaw. Absolutely quality. Bit of an odd one, though. It's a permanent contract, 6 months, which is the length of the contract had he left Palace so like alone. He must have taken a massive pay cut to join us. Fair play to him. He's already the darling of Mark Anderson and his Oak boys. I really get the feeling it's going to be automatic this season. I did say, like, after last Sunday show, after the Shrewsbury game, I have now changed my tune to, not to that we're definitely going to get it, but I do think automatics is a possibility now.
It's within our grasp. I mean, we were saying off air a little while ago, you look at the table now and we're 4 points away from Portsmouth, 3 points away from Luton. Those are the top two. Now, people will say, well, game's in hand, and that's true, of course. But it wasn't that long ago we were a good 10 to 15 points away from the top spot. So that gap has closed immeasurably, and we'll, you know, it's not impossible that it could continue. Luton and Portsmouth are playing each other in the week, aren't they? So they're going to take points off each other. And that's one of their games in hand against us, or that is their game in hand against us, and they're playing each other. It's Tuesday week, I think it is. So, of course it's possible. And you heard Lee Bowyer say, they're only looking above, at the two above. They're not worried about what's underneath us.
Mendonca Nasta says, Bilic is the nuts. Yeah, he is.
Still hearing rattling.
Yeah, Paul Griffiths. Wow, what an end of the game, and what an atmosphere. Not sure if anyone saw that coming, except a very young lad in the toilets at halftime who was telling his dad he saw sending Austin a late goal. Well, obviously, before the late drama, must mention the two amazing saves by Phillips. I'm sure you would have discussed this before you get to the emails, but with the Taylor sending off, I only saw Taylor on the ground being kicked and stamped on, so I'm not sure if I saw their keeper doing anything. Ivory says he hopes that both will appeal. After the penalty was correctly awarded, the linesman was lucky he had Solly in the unlikely bodyguard role, as the Stanley players came at him. He thought he was going to lynch him. But after getting a lot of abuse for the disallowed goal and sending off, became a hero, waving his flag to point out the handball. He says, as Louise said, not Louise, in his tweet last night, obviously the pitch invasion is bad, but it really showed the togetherness between the players and the fans. Cheers for that, Paul. David Todman says, what a game, and credit to the team and the fans. That was a game we'd have lost under Robinson. Bayer's got the winning mentality, and that win is just the kind of thing that wins promotion. Sykes, we've heard a lot about, but the number 14 rakes his studs on Lyle's head as well in the melee. We certainly did. Aldrich Gaming says, did you see that Grant was linked with Millwall? Yeah, we did see that in the tweets earlier. Hopefully not. Thought Naby Sarr had a good game personally. He's improving every game, turning out to be a key figure in this side. Nathan, just quickly, we do love Naby Sarr these days, don't we?
Oh, I love the guy. He's growing. He grows on me as each week goes by. He just reminds me of a massive bouncer of a nightclub. And him and the photo of him and Johnny yesterday was quite funny. And Look, so I'm glad he's settled now, because he obviously, you know, looking at the programme, he didn't have a great start. So yeah, delighted for him.
Right, John Morton, a victory that will add even greater confidence to the boys and us fans. Really great that the emphasis is on Bowes and the boys and not the owner. Support is on the up, and talk of boycotts is of little relevance, plus no players yet sold. And he says Stephen Gerrard scouting strikers. What's there not to like? That's from Johnny K. Right, Jay Edwins said, listen to yesterday's game by the hotel pool in Mexico, surrounded by American holidaymakers. We made even more noise than the Yanks when the goal went in. That was some feat. Feeling like we'll need another front man to keep the pressure on for our charge up the league. Enjoying the show. That's from Jay and Liz. Cheers for that. Paul Edwards says the Accrington, yeah, I noticed this as well. So Paul Edwards points out that the Accrington assistant said that the refs had a bird's eye view. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't that tall, was he?
He wasn't sat next to me in the North Upper, no.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. He didn't know. I mean, in fairness, pretty much everything that Jimmy Bell said was a load of nonsense. Mm. So there we go. Right, Len says, if the worst comes to the worst and Lyle's red card is upheld, I still think we'll be okay. Lyle has been out before and we've still won games and the team is stronger now and well motivated. I hope that is the case, Len. Yeah, thanks for your tweets and your emails there. Right, we are going to hear now from Heather Alderson from Cards. You'll be aware, you may well be aware, that the protest group were invited to speak to the EFL during the week. I spoke to Heather in the Swan yesterday. I got a lot of work done in the pub yesterday. I was quite proud of myself. And I didn't have any beer because I was good.
You refused a beer,
isn't it? No, because I was working. Yeah, I had loads of beer after, but there we go. Right,
you've changed.
Heather Alderson. So I asked her what the meeting was all about, and this is what she had to say.
Well, the meeting was part of the general review that the EFL is doing into the situation at Charlton, and also a response to the additional questions that Roland asked when he met with them, when he asked for them to investigate Card, which we welcomed with open arms because we've actually got quite a lot to say to the EFL and we've got quite a lot to say about the situation at Charlton. So the situation, the meeting was a good meeting. It was very open. Sean Harvey attended in person together with his policy director and one of the communications staff. And so what we did in the meeting is we talked particularly about the situations between the fans and Roland. We also talked about the mechanics of the sale. And disappointingly, actually, they talked about the fact that they've not received any papers since the summer, where the group known as the Aussies submitted papers, and they talked about it as getting as far as the altar, but not actually getting the ring on the finger, which is very disappointing, obviously. But they also talked about how these things can happen very quickly. The two criteria that they're looking for is the fact that the funds are there and the source of the funds. Now, they weren't particular about where it tripped up, but you kind of got the feeling that it might have been the source. So, in other words, there was money there, but when it came to it, it wasn't coming from the right places and they couldn't see where it was. The other part of the meeting, which I think was quite a good result as far as we were concerned, is that we pressed them very hard on the staff bonuses. And they've given us now the undertaking that they are going to pursue that issue with Roland ahead of the whole review. So if nothing else coming out of that meeting, that it seems like there's going to be some acceleration of that, certainly as far as the staff are concerned, which we were very clear it is important to all of us because the staff are fans and we're fans too. There are a couple of other points of interest, really. I mean, we pushed them a bit on the fact that the club hadn't got any effective management in terms of no chief executive or finance people. And they were saying that actually, as far as they're concerned, all they technically need is that paperwork is filled in and the match day operations are performed to a satisfactory standard. So you're sort of reading between the lines. To a degree, there's a couple of employees that are holding it together for the rest of us right now. And so you know, that's clearly, as far as that's concerned. The third area, which is a more broad EFL area, is they are still working on this charter. And we had really hoped that the charter would have some element of commitment to fan relationships because in the Football League, fan income is disproportionately important to the fortunes of clubs. It's not like the Premier League where you get lots and lots of sponsorship money and so on. And so relationship with the fans, if nothing else, is financially important. At present, the charter, as described by them, does not have a fan relationship element to it. And that's a missed opportunity, we think. And that's an area that we think all supporters now should be really trying to push for, either separately or as part of that charter.
Now, of course, inaction perhaps from the EFL has been one of the focuses of protests over the last few years. In fact, when we played Accrington away, there was a big banner calling out the EFL. Yeah. Do you think that now they've taken a few steps in the right direction, now they have finally got involved?
I think they are moving but they are moving slowly. They were, I think they're aware that they look like they're moving slowly, so they talked about the fact that there's an awful lot else on and that they have to do a lot of things, and they were referring to having to have meetings with lawyers and all sorts of things on all sorts of things to do with the Football League. But they, the progress seems slow at the EFL compared to business in general.
And within their current powers that they have, it's more they can advise Roland rather than really force him to do anything, I guess, is one of the problems as well.
That is one of the problems. I mean, they are in the way that they're set up at the moment, that they have to, they run a competition, and therefore they are there to run that competition on behalf of the, you know, in fact, they don't run any games themselves other than the playoffs. And so they have to uphold the competitions. They're not there to enforce anything on owners so they can use influence rather than sanction as it currently stands, even though there are some steps now towards being able to sanction individuals within the Football League.
There we go. Heather Alderson from Card talking to us about their meeting with the EFL during the week. I think it's good that they're still obviously paying attention. As Heather mentioned there, the reason they're actually called in is because Roland grassed Card up and said that he wanted them to do an investigation, the EFL, into Card. But Heather said, I mean, they were more than welcome to do so because Card have nothing to hide and they had plenty to say. Right, Matthias Johnson, a great 3 points yesterday with Taylor, due to be missing against Peterborough. Though I will be in Peterborough next week and I'm looking forward to coming to a new ground. Good to see you, Matthias. If you get a chance, drop us a message. We'll come out and say hello as well if we get a chance before the game next week. Right, we're sort of coming to the end, but I think we just about quickly can touch on the Card interview, Tell. It's interesting all this stuff still rumbling on underneath the surface, because I mean the bonus situation was something that's still going on, and these things still need sorting, don't they?
No question. I mean, you just don't know whether it's because maybe in his mind he thinks he'll be sold. Well, you know, the club will be sold,
and
so
get away,
he won't have to deal with it. You think, and so he's, you know, the head's being buried in the sand, or he's being told, oh, don't worry about it, it'll go away, and you'll have sold it long before that. And it really comes back to bite you. Well, I think he's got a surprise coming at some point.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, we have run out of time on this evening's Cheltenham Live. It's flown by because everyone's got involved this evening. We had so many tweets, emails and forum posts. So thanks to all of you who've got involved for having your say. It's been good to hear from you. Nathan, thank you for coming in.
Much love.
Terry, it's good to see you as always.
Cheers, thank you.
Heather, it's been a pleasure having you in.
I enjoyed my day being, thank you.
Yeah, more than welcome to come back again next time you're down from Glasgow. You're not scouting Carlin Grant, are you, for anyone?
No, well, that'll be telling.
Right, brilliant. Thanks for coming in. Right, I've been Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live. Thanks to all of you who've listened. We'll be back on Thursday with the big match preview ahead of another massive game away to Peterborough. We look forward to seeing you then. See you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.